Good morning. And happy 4th of July on the 3rd. It's all tomorrow. Just think what I said today so you can have happy 4th. I'm going to ask you that you turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. You know that I constantly think about the millennium. At least that's been on my heart for the last year or so. But Matthew 5 is also practical for today. And we're going to talk, hopefully, about some of the practicality of that today. Looking at Matthew 5, starting in verse 1, just reading down to verse 9. And it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we approach your throne. We're people of thankful hearts. Thankful hearts, Father, that we have a day that we can celebrate freedom. But every day of our life now we can celebrate freedom because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Death could not consume him. But he had the power to rise again. We have a living God. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that we have spiritually. And hopefully we can look at this even physically and emotionally. Lord, as we open up your scriptures and saw what you would have us to see, we would ask that you would bless the reading of the word. Help every one of us be edified. May you be honored and glorified. And may this servant of yours be put aside so that you get the fullness of honor. So we ask again for your help. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Give you an outline of what we'll try to do and complete today. One, I have a story, always have a story. Two, an introduction. Three, Prince of Peace. Four, blessed are the peacemakers. And five, a Beatitudes review. We may not even get to that, but we'll give it a shot. Very important that today is the 4th of July, or it's the 3rd of July, but we're celebrating the 4th of July tomorrow. And it was interesting that Billy Graham received a question from a foreigner. This was the question. He says, "I'm from another country and am visiting some of my relatives here who are in graduate school. I asked them what your festival of July 4th means, but they were not sure. Does it have something to do with your Christian religion?" That was the question that Billy Graham received. Billy Graham's answer is this, and I quote, "July 4th commemorates the day in 1776 that our nation declared itself to be independent nation and no longer a colony of England. On that date, a number of our leading citizens signed what is known as the Declaration of Independence, stating our determination to become a free country. Our independence did not come easily. Only after several difficult years of war would it finally be won. Nor were our first years as a nation free from problems and controversies, as it is still true. But our forefathers were determined to establish a free democratic system of government and the Declaration of Independence, together with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, became the foundation for this. They have stood the test of time. And on July 4th, we give thanks for the wisdom and faith and courage of those leaders. Although it is not a religious holiday like Christmas or Easter, for many Americans, July 4th is a time to reflect on God's goodness to us as a nation. Molded into the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, which proclaimed our independence, are these words from the Bible. Quote, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." End of quote. Leviticus 25, verse 10. Our legal system reflects the Judeo-Christian roots. While we look with gratitude to the past on the July 4th, may we also look in faith to the future and commit it in our lives to God and His will. The ancient words of the psalmist are still true. Quote, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Psalm 31, 12. And you look at that, and I had to go and look to make sure that his quotes were true. And so I looked at Leviticus 25, 10. And it actually says, "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possessions, and ye shall return every man unto his family." And that was the year, the 50th year was the year of Jubilee. And that's what everybody became free. If they were slaves because they couldn't pay for what they had encountered the debt, they were free. And that was the year of Jubilee. Well, that's what Billy Graham looked at, not only for the present, that we are free in our hearts, our emotions, and hopefully our lives as we give all that we have, do, think, and say to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christians saved by grace. That's the beginning. What we covered last time, this is item number two. What we covered last time was two basic doctrines or truths. One was that we brought out the King of Righteousness, and that Jesus Christ is the King. He was the King of the millennium. He's going to come back for 1,000 years, and he's going to walk this earth, and he's going to bring his bride with him to walk the earth, to do the ministries. Jesus Christ will have a glorified body, and every one of us will also have a glorified body. As he walks as King, how can that, in a practical way, be true today? Well, beloved, think of the song that we sing sometimes where it says, "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary." Beloved, if he's King in the millennium, and we're a part today of the kingdom of God, the question that comes out, is he King of your life today? Is he the one that given you the love story in the scriptures and the Bible? Do we follow the word of God, and do we give him honor and glorify him? Last time, we also, in the doctrine of the truth that we covered was, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Can you imagine seeing God? We see him with our spiritual eyes, but we will one day see him face to face. And then that day, think about this. When that day happens, will we honor him and glorify him like we've never done before? King David asked God to examine his heart. In Psalm 26, verses 1 and 2, this is what King David said, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide." That's verse 1. Then he comes out with a bold statement in verse 2. He says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." And if you stop and you think about that and you're asking God, open up my heart. But, beloved, don't ask him to open up your heart for your entire life. you'll walk out depressed. Ask him for the moment in time. The moment in time that if you did an opportunity and served him, was he pleased? Did you do it according to his word, according to his ways, according to his purpose? Is your integrity matching up to God's standard? And that's why when King David said, "Examine me, examine my heart, O Lord, examine me." He didn't do it for his whole life because sin was in his life. It's interesting that if you do have sin in your life, a simple repentance, a simple confession, agreeing with God you were wrong, wipes it clean. He paid it the price on the cross of Calvary. So should we say that may I sin more, that grace may abound? And his answer to that was, God forbid. No. If you're a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will do every opportunity to make him king of your life and walk that way. So the third part of the message comes quickly. We're down to Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's not only the King of Righteousness, but he's also the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, it's often used at Christmas time, but you can use it any time. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And so this is where we see him as the Prince of Peace. Looking at a commentary from Matthew Henry. I love studying from Matthew Henry because he has a pastoral heart. I believe that God has given me one of those type of hearts, a pastoral. I care about the sheep. But remember, if you stray, I don't mind breaking your leg. But I also don't mind carrying you while the leg heals. So this is what Matthew Henry said about the Prince of Peace. "He is the Prince of Peace. As a king, he preserves the peace, commands peace, nay, he creates peace. In his kingdom, he is our peace, and it is his peace that both keeps the hearts and his people and rules them. He is not only a peaceable prince, and his reign is peaceable, but he is the author of all good, all that peace which is the present future bliss of his subjects." So when you look at Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, how do I get to follow him? What? I'm going to give you five scriptures. Now remember, five in scripture carries the responsibility of man. Now, there's many more scriptures than the five that I'm going to give, and you can look through them and just do a word study on peace, and you will find them all. But I'm just going to give you five, starting in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You don't have to turn to them. You can look them up later or jot them down or get the tape. This is what it says, Isaiah 26, 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Can you imagine? Think of the troubles and trials and situations that you go through in life. Where does your mind go right away? Now, many times in Scripture, when the Scripture talks about the mind, he's actually talking somewhat of the heart, because heart always comes before the mind. So when you go through a trial, what do you think of? Do you think of the trial? Or do you focus right away on the Lord? And ask the Lord, "What are you putting me through now? Why are you allowing this in my life? What can I do to stay calm?" And ask yourself a variety of questions. And what you're doing is keeping your mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. Trials bring unrest. Second verse. John 14, 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And you think of what is happening in the upper room ministry. Jesus Christ has just told his disciples he's going to leave them. They don't know where he's going. They're not even sure if he's going to be put to death. They didn't have the Holy Spirit upon them at that time. But he says, my peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not the world's peace, because the world's peace is unrest. They're in troubles, they're in darkness. They don't have a connection at this point in time to the Almighty Lord. And so, did you ever lose a loved one? One that has been by your side for years? Or one that you just know as an acquaintance, a friend, and you heard of a death? And where does your mind go right away? Does it go to the and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, or does it focus on the lost one? You know, one of the saddest things is doing a funeral. I've done way too many funerals this year, between last year and this year, within a year. And if it's a lost one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, where's the comfort in that? But to have the comfort to know that the person has lived a life trying to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a comfort and a peace. And that's the peace that God gives you, because he is the Prince of Peace. And so our focus should not go on the individual and the lost right away. It should go on to the Prince of Peace and ask the Prince of Peace to give you the comfort. For 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, he's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all peace. Third one, Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. That's the peace with God. It was read this morning in Ephesians, as the whole chapter 2 was read. And my ears picked up on it real quickly, because it talks about the partition that was broken down. The veil was rent in two when he died on the cross of Calvary. And so we have access to the Prince of Peace, as we can walk through the Holy of Holies and spend our time on him and honor him. But the focus has to be, whatever trial, tribulation, the focus should always go first to the Prince of Peace, to get the calmness of your heart. And then look at the situations. Remember, you do not have peace when you look at God through your circumstances. You have the peace of God when you look at your circumstances through the eyes of God. He's allowed things to happen. We will suffer in this life. He has told us that, because he suffered. But our suffering should honor him at all times. Our sufferings should help us to understand how close we are to him and what he did for us. And so we honor him and glorify him with the calmness and peace. Number four. The fourth one says, it's in Philippians 4:6-7. You've heard it many, many times. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's verse 6. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What did he bring out here? But again, trials, tribulations, even prosperities should include this. Because prayer connects us, communicates our concerns to the Lord Jesus Christ, which he already hears. He already knows them. Supplications are deeper prayers, where the hurt is even deeper. And what happens when we go through things? Do we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it also says in here, prayers and supplications, but with thanksgivings. Every trial you go through, every trial I go through, God is teaching us. God is allowing it so that our faith will grow in him, so that we can stand in front of him on the day of judgment and say, thank you, Lord, because at that day of judgment, the bema seat, they call it, is where you get your rewards, because you honored Christ through your actions, through your words, through your thoughts. Number five is Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How many of us let the peace of God rule our hearts? If the peace of God rules your heart, you will walk in a calmness, in a gentleness. You will walk in a kindness. When trials or people that will persecute you, you walk with meekness. And that's a gentleness in response, not reaction. So five scriptures, and there's many more than this, that shows us responsibility. Any situation comes up, look to God. That was the first one in Isaiah 26. The second one of John 14:27, loss of family or friend, look to God. Third one, be thankful for the Prince of Peace and the scriptures that we receive. Look to God. That's Ephesians 2:14. He broke the barrier. He has developed a relationship with us so that we can have constant fellowship with him. Remember this, if you sin, you have never lost your relationship. Never have lost it. You have may have interfered your fellowship. A repentance, a confession restores it. But you never, never lose your relationship. You cannot lose your salvation. The fourth one was Philippians 4:6-7, and we are to protect your heart and minds with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. That's a constant communication to God. Simple as that. Communicate to God. And the fifth one is letting God get control of your heart with the peace that he has given us. Look to God in all situations. Let me give you a couple examples of this. I want to ask that you turn with me to Acts chapter 3. As you're turning to Acts chapter 3, we see that I'm going to read verses 12 through 15, and we see that, remember, during this time, John and Peter are going to heal this man at the Gate Beautiful. He was lame. And he's going to heal the man. But remember the background of Peter. Peter had denied the Lord three times. And why did he deny the Lord three times? We don't know all the depth of it because we don't know the heart of Peter at that time. But what we do know is he stood afar off. John, the one whom Jesus loved, went with Jesus all the way to the cross of Calvary. Walked right up with him into the trials and everything. But Peter stood afar off. When they recognized Peter, or at least his clothes, he said, you were with Jesus, to paraphrase, and he denied him. He said, no, I'm not. I know I wasn't. I'm not one of them. And he denied him. On the third denial, he looked straight into the eyes of Jesus. That's in Luke. Can you imagine having a sin, and all of a sudden the clouds open up, and you see eye to eye Jesus Christ? That would break your heart, I trust. It would break my heart. But he watches us constantly. I just wanted to give you that background. But remember later on in John. John said, on a fishing expedition, which they didn't do well, they came in, and Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Agape, do you love me? Yes. You know, Lord, I phileo you. Well, feed my sheep. The second time, Jesus said to Peter, do you agape me, that sacrificial love? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you, that brotherly love. Feed my lambs. Then the third time, Jesus changed. And he said, Peter, do you phileo me? He came to his level because Peter couldn't get back up. Remember, Peter's the one that said, I'll die with you. He's the one that cut off Malchus's ear and tried to defend. And Jesus said, put up your sword. But now Peter's sad because Peter said, you know, Lord, I phileo you. And he walked away sad because Jesus had come down to his level. Now, I wanted to give you that background because of this, what is going on. And you look at Acts 3:12-15, it says, and when Peter saw it, he answered and said to the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Now remember, he healed the lame man. Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? That was verse 12. 13 says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, and whereon we are witnesses. And you see the boldness of Peter as he touches the hearts of the people and given an accusation against them. How can Peter, who had denied the Lord, who walked away sad because he couldn't reach the agape love, has now reached the agape love? If that means he would die, he'd die. But he was at peace because they had killed the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace. Some people may have the author of life in their scriptures. But he also noticed that it said the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers. They're alive. They're alive in the glories of heaven. Peter pictures Jesus as the source of life. And so the peace can come and control him. As you look at the five scriptures, perfect peace whose mind is set upon thee, upon God himself. We see Peter connected the healing of the lame man with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Peter focused on the Prince of Peace. His whole life changed. Beloved, when we become Christians, our whole life should change. And our demeanor and our actions should be men and women and even children of peace. There are times when we have to defend, but peace should be the rule of our hearts. We should know our scriptures and walk in them so that we honor the Prince of Peace. Acts 5:29-33, if you would, please. It says there that the background is that Peter and the other disciples, the apostles, they were commanded not to preach Christ anymore. They were basically told, stop. If somebody told you to stop, would you stop? I remember a time when I was in at work. I'm going to start losing my memory because it was at least 12 years ago now. As I was at work, they told me that you're not to preach Christ. I work for the government. This is a federal thing. And I could lose my job. And so a woman came over to me. I was with another supervisor. And the woman said, I know that you're one of those holy rollers. If I died today, where would I go? And I'm saying, wait a minute. This is a federal thing here now. So the guy with me is another supervisor. I says, take notes. because she asked me a question. I didn't bring it up. She brought it up. I said, you go to hell. She was ready to write me up as in a grievance. And the other supervisor said, you can't do that because you brought it up. He didn't bring it up. But it didn't stop me from preaching Christ and Christ crucified. And so I don't know where that lady is today. Hopefully she knows the Lord Jesus Christ today, but she didn't know it then. So think about these things. When you're told to stop preaching, you may not preach with words, but you can preach with actions. You can preach with principles of Scripture. If you know your Scriptures, you walk and you talk Christ. Now, you don't walk around with King James saying, thou shalt be holy. No, just talk your normal talk, but live Christ. But if you don't spend time with him, you can't live him. The world's all messed up. You see it. You hear about it. Many people are in unrest. Even Christians are in unrest. Why? God's in control. God knows what's going on. And God chose you. He chose me. And he told us to walk with his peace. Walk with his truth, his understanding. Walk with his wisdom. But the only way to get that is spending time. Spending time with him, maybe in Bible studies, in fellowship with other Christians of like-mindedness, and have peace. Acts 5:29-33, it reads this way. Remember, they continued to teach. They were told to stop, they continued. They continued to teach in the temple, and they saw they were brought to the high priest. And then we pick it up in verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, I wonder why the world got so messed up. Because maybe the Christians didn't obey God and spent more time concerned about man. Verse 30 says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom we slew and hanged on a tree. Notice that verse. He said, we slew. He counted himself as the part of the one that put Christ to the cross of Calvary. How about us? Do we think that way? Verse 31 says, him that hath exalted, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Big focus here is on obedience to Scriptures, not obedience to man. We can be obedient to the laws and rules as long as it doesn't violate Scripture. Verse 33 says, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Did they slay Peter at that time? Did they slay the apostles at that time? The answer is no. You know, when we get to this point in time, when we talk about the Prince of Peace, a lot of people say, well, how do I follow the Prince of Peace? And some people will throw at you Psalm 37. And so there's a practicality in Psalm 37 to follow the Prince of Peace. And so I'm going to just read there's five verses of Psalm 37. We're going to skip verse 2 and just 1, 3, 4, and 5. It says, this is the practicality of what we can do. 1, it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And so what do you pick up right away? Fret not. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be concerned if the evildoers seem to be being blessed. Don't fret about it. How many times do we complain about things that we have absolutely no control of? Don't fret about it. That's number one. Focus on the Lord, not the world, not yourself, and not evil. The second one's in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The second point here in practicality is trust God. Focus on the Lord. See the opportunities to obey by way of His word, by way of your actions should match up. Stay obedient. The key here would be obedient. Trust His word. I was once called about a man and wife were having a very difficult time with one another. So they called me up, and what the big decision was, the big argument was, or discussion, whatever you want to put there, was the fact that she wanted to go to this church and he wanted to go to this church. Now, we know that the man is the spiritual leader per the scriptures. It's Christ, it's man, it's woman, it goes down. So I said on the phone to this young man, go to her church. My wife is over on the couch going, no, don't do that. I says, understand. Just show the meekness. Just show, focus on the Lord. He'll take care of this. Just pray. And so they went to her church for 3 months. And then she said, I had enough of this church. Let's go to yours. And they, as far as I know, are there. Sometimes you trust in the Lord. Take His words. She was a spiritual leader then, in that He allowed her to go through, to see the struggles that she was going to go through. As they went home and they studied the scriptures and found out, whoops, now that other church are believers in the Lord. And we should have also peace with them. They just had some different doctrine at times. But we're still Christians, saved by grace. We are already one with them. All right, the third thing is, sometimes it's hard to do, but it should be easy to do. So the first two focus on the Lord. The third one is in verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give the desires of thine heart. Again, you've got to focus on the Lord. What you're focusing on is what is His desires. Sometimes people read this and think, well, I'm going to incorporate my desires and I'll force fit this round peg in that square hole. It doesn't work. As you focus on the Lord and you see His desires and you spend time with Him, they all of a sudden become your desires. And life is a life of peace. And He gives you the desires of your heart. Matter of fact, you cannot outgive God. As you give and give and give, and I'm not talking money, I'm talking time, I'm talking anything, and you're giving it unto the Lord for His honor and for His glory, He'll bless you. And He'll bless you more. Now, will this young man get the desires of his heart along with the desires of the Lord's heart? If they are compatible, yes. If they're not compatible, no. The fifth one is, and this is one of the tougher ones. It's in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The only way you can commit your way unto the Lord is to realize that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And as you understand that, and you commit, and that's a big word, commit, you're turning your life over to Him and His ways, to His doctrines, to His truth, to His life, and we walk and talk Jesus Christ. And that's the practical way of actually honoring the Prince of Peace. Four little steps. They're not that hard. how do I become a peacemaker? Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what it says in verse 9, and that's our scripture. They shall be called the children of God. Are you a child of God? It says in that John chapter 1, verse 12, to as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. You know, you can't be a child of God unless you have the peace with him. But remember that barrier has been broken in Ephesians 2:14. And God offers peace to everyone. But you know, in Matthew 5 and 9, that's the only place the word peacemaker is brought. As a child of God, we have to have the peace of God. This is God's gift to every Christian believer, is his peace. The peace of God manifests as the believer walks in obedience to God's will, ways, and purposes. Perfect peace is keeping our minds and hearts on the Prince of Peace. If the Christian stays obedient to God's will, they will become peacemakers. Remember, beloved, that God is our peace. The Apostle Paul refers to the Almighty God as the Almighty God of peace. In Romans 15:13, he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." It's interesting how joy matched up with peace here. "All joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Remember that hope that he's given us? It's going to happen. Every promises of God will happen. And he has given us peace. And he's given us hope. And he's given us the promise of eternal life with him in the glories of heaven. He's also given us a promise that we as Christians, the bride of Christ, will walk with him for 1,000 years back on this earth. The earth will change somewhat. The evil one will be gone. There'll still be sin, but we will have the mind of Christ. We won't be equal with him, never will. But we will walk like we've never walked this earth for 1,000 years. Jesus taught of his gift of peace to his disciples, and we've covered that. So our heart, peace I leave with you. That's the gift. As a child of God, do you ever stop and think of what your responsibilities are? You've got to have peace with all of this, and you've got to know the Prince of Peace, but this is our responsibility. This is just a handful of our responsibilities. We are ministers of reconciliation. That means reconcile the lost to become saved. We don't convict and we don't convert. That's the Holy Spirit's job. We're the tool. We're the vessel that God will use. 2 Corinthians 5:19, we are ministers of reconciliation. How many people here feel like they're an ambassador for God? Well, that's another one of our ministries as a child of God. That's in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We're ambassadors. We represent Jesus Christ. We are the salt. We are the light of the world. We also have a responsibility of teaching and preaching the gospel of Christ, Matthew 28:19. How can I teach if I don't know? How can I live it and preach it if I don't know him? Oh, beloved, we must know him. That comes down to just three responsibilities of being a child of God. Another one is baptizing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. That means you have to spend time preaching and teaching and maybe one-on-one with people. The next one, that would be Matthew 28:19. The next one would be, as a child of God, making disciples. Matthew 28:20. I'm in a Tuesday night Bible study. I'm trying to give you a resume, but I tell that to my brother all the time if he's listening. Don't give me a resume. it's a believer and a non-believer. They're married. It's interesting because we were supposed to go every other Tuesday night. It leaves me another opening for another person. But they have to do it every Tuesday night now. Now, this unbeliever is still an unbeliever. But he wants to know this man named Jesus. So, beloved, pray for Ryan. I won't give you his last name. Just pray for Ryan. God knows who he is. His wife is Erin. But he gets upset if we don't have to study. So we study. It's supposed to go for a half hour to 45 minutes and goes to an hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes because they have questions. Well, how can you preach? How can you make disciples if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace? He has unrest in his heart. She also has unrest in her heart, and she's a Christian. And her unrest is her husband because he's not a Christian. And so we work it through. To know Jesus Christ is to have peace. So I have to, in 3 minutes, give you practicality. A lot of people tell you to turn to have peace with God, to turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's what they tell you. How do you get there? And so here's a practicality, and I'll try to go through. I'm going to go through it fast. So if you're taking notes, write fast. Verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." Number one, in practicality of Proverbs 3, and becoming a peacemaker. This is the practicality of becoming a peacemaker. It comes down to study, read, meditate on the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Those are the actions we must do. Deuteronomy 8:1 says, "All the commandment which I command thee this day shall be observed to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." And God is telling Israel to go in and take the promised land. But when we become Christians and we're brand new, we have to win the land of our heart. And the only way to win the land of our heart is to fill our heart, meditate on the Word of God, study the Word of God, know Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And in practicality, you're on the first step of having a life of peace. The second step would be in verse 2, "For length of days and long life, peace shall they add to thee." You know, when I first became a Christian, my spiritual father gave me one scripture, and he said, if you're going to be a leader, you have to put this in your heart. Psalm 119, 165, and it says, "Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." It also means nothing shall be a stumbling block. You know what shortens life? Stress. Stress shortens your life. And matter of fact, if you got bumps and bruises, somehow stress will raise that pain level up on you. Don't let stumbling blocks come in your life. What you have to do if you want added days in your life is study Him. Let the peace rule your hearts. Number 3, you got to keep moving. Says, "Let mercy and truth forsake, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around the neck, write them on the table of thine heart." And you know, by the way, that's 2 Corinthians 3:3, for it says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of your heart." When I first was dating Phyllis, we had these high school rings. And I gave up my ring. And what did she do with the ring? She put it on a chain around her neck. I don't know if they do that today. But I remember, now you got to think I'm old. So that goes back to the time. And that's so that she can visibly see that we have a connection. By the way, we started dating in seventh grade. I've known my wife since third grade. So mercy and truth often go together. Mercy and goodness are the sheepdogs in Psalm 23, but mercy is involved. Beloved, we have to be people of mercy. Because if you hold grudges, then you hold stress. By the way, if you hold a grudge against someone, they may not even know it. And they're at peace. And where are you? You're at stress. And so what happens to the tomorrow? You may not have it. Life goes on. God's promises to us are his mercy and his truth. We have to delve in that. So if we understand him, we understand his mercy to us, then we must be people of mercy. That's peacemakers, beloved. That's how we become peacemakers. The fourth one is, so shalt thou find favor with God, understanding in the sight of God and man. That's a simple one. It goes to Luke 2:52. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and found favor with God and man. That's the Beatitudes, beloved, which we will not cover today, except for this one, the peace. Stature is just age. When people look at you, do they see Christ? Do they see the wisdom come out? I know a young man, his name is Jasmir Bajwa. He's from India and he's from the Sikh religion. And he wears a white turban. And so I asked him, why the white? And he says, because when you get old, that's purity. I said, well, you should turn it back to blue or something because you don't know Christ. And we've had many discussions on Christ. And he still wears the white turban. The last one is trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. And that goes to Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Rely upon God's promises and providence at all times. We're done. So I'm sorry I went 3 minutes over. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to look at your scriptures, to see your truth. You have challenged us to be peacemakers today. We will be peacemakers in the millennium. But Father, help us to learn it today so that we can honor you not only today, but tomorrow as well. Father, as we leave, may everyone enjoy and be safe during the holiday of the 4th. May we enjoy each other's company and fellowship. But again, we thank you, and may you bless each and every one that are on Zoom or here today, according to the riches of your grace. Thank you, Lord. We lift all this request before you, thanking you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.